Welcome to the Jody Seeley Show podcast.
Please welcome Tom Barker.
Hey.
Hey, Jim.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Jody. You're truly the best.
We get to focus on you today, which I'm so excited about. And I was trying to think of when we first met to share, and I was kind of blanking on it, but I think I remember now.
Okay.
So tell what I think my version is, and you tell me if I'm on board.
Okay.
So we met because of a mutual friend named Michaela Sheedy, who is an incredible country artist from Okotoks, Alberta. And she was singing in a Tim Hortons for like camp day or something. And I came in and I was there to broadcast, and I was like, damn girl, you're good. Like, what are you doing in the Tim Hortons? And so I invited her to come and be on my show. And she brought along her best friend, Tom. And in he came into my life and we instantly fell in love.
Yes.
Would that be like on par?
That's exactly as I remember it. If I'm not mistaken, it was New Year's Day, 2015.
Oh, I remember us wearing like New Year's glasses or something in our first photo together.
Yes, that's exactly it. It was like, and the glasses said 2015. So I think it was, New Year's Day of 2015. Or New Year's Eve of 2014.
Yeah, one of those pieces.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
was so good.
Which I mean, I'll actually end out that little part with, that the day that I met you, I was 364 days out of the closet.
Shut up.
For real. So there you go.
That was fresh.
Yeah. Little tidbit of information there. So you were the one, you were right there on my 1 year.
Wow.
I know, right?
That was almost more exciting news than Michaela. Don't tell her I said that.
Oh my God.
We should have had you on the show instead of her.
No, I'm God. She is going to kill you and me. Totally.
I haven't seen her in a long time, so I deserve the killing. I get it. No, it was a package deal of awesome, and we've been friends ever since.
Yeah.
And we've had the opportunity to work together on a number of different projects since 2015, but have always stayed fast friends. And I just appreciate you. So thank you so much for coming to hang out with us this morning.
Oh my gosh, the feeling's so mutual.
One of the things I wanted, outside of just introducing you to the club and giving them the opportunity to get to know you a little better, I wanted to also have a bit of open conversation with you today, if you're up for it.
Yeah.
Which you usually always are. And we're going to tell people more about your podcast and how they can find it and all of these things in a moment. But we started, today's the 4th of June. So we're 4 days into what is called Pride Month. And I'm always excited for this month. I love seeing stories of this month. I love to share love in this month. But I've come to notice, and I think it's just the way the world is, like a lot of people don't understand why Pride Month is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it goes with a lot of what we've come through with COVID, when we've had lots of different, I guess, sort of movements and things of the world come up to light for us. We're in a place where we're having more conversations. So I wanted to talk today a bit about Pride Month and how that's important, and really just have a place of safe, open dialogue for people to be allies of that without feeling uncomfortable. Because I think that's what prevents people from just pushing through and just loving, is because they're not sure what to do or say. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think that there's a lot of people, I think the general public and the general consensus, you kind of nailed it there. Like, a lot of people want to support, but they don't want to seem performative. They don't want to seem like they love gays 30 days a year.
Yeah.
And they want to know more and they want to learn more, but they don't know how to approach the topic. And it's something that I've been really, like, really straight up with, is if you want to know something, ask.
Yeah.
Like, almost any person in our community will, like, they want to talk about it because they love talking about it. So, especially for me, you know, like, if someone wants to know about why Pride Month is important, I'll tell them, because for so many years, it started, you know, with the Stonewall Inn and Marsha P. Johnson and all of these people, that it's still important that we educate every June and that people still see that we're here and all of that. So to really shortly answer your question, yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah. Well, and I think that it's, I mean, obviously there's a requirement to still have these conversations because I met you at 364 days of being out of the closet, as they call it, or I don't even know if we use that terminology anymore because I'm not sure why it was a closet. But anyway, for you coming out, but
for
you,
a second,
were not,
oh my God.
You were not 10 years old. Obviously, there's a need to still have these conversations if people were unsure of it, because when I met you in 2015 and you are newly out to sharing who you truly are,
yeah,
that was when you were still what age? So how many years of you not living your authentic self did you live before doing that? Like, it was a lot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I met you when I was probably like 18 or 19. I think was right about, yeah, I know. I was about 18, 19 when I met you, and I'm 26 now. So maybe actually it was about 20, 21. And yeah, there was a lot of years that like you kind of live in this proverbial closet. And I actually just did a workshop on this 2 days ago where I kind of went like really, really into depth on this topic. But it's, yeah, there was a lot of years there that were awful. And that in itself is a reason that Pride Month has to still exist. Because for me, although people see this like this crazy, outlandish, exciting, room light up type of person, it wasn't always like that. So if we can just shorten that gap between birth and authentic self, I think the world's going to be a much better place. And that right there is the reason that we still have to acknowledge Pride Month.
Yeah. The flip side, unfortunate, is that we lose so many incredible people every year in that gap.
Yeah.
We have people who take their lives because they don't know how to get out of the gap. And that's why we need to keep having those conversations, if nothing else, is so we stop losing people in that time frame.
You know,
my heart.
Yeah, it's exactly it. I mean, literally in my workshop the other night, I presented these stats of suicide as the second biggest cause of death in kids between 10 and 24. And of those kids, gay kids or LGBTQ youth are three times more as likely to contemplate suicide as straight kids. And so the stats themselves don't lie. Like, it's the reason that things like GLAAD and the Trevor Project and those sorts of things exist. And it's because it's not just for attention. Like, these kids, some of them are in homes where parents every day are like, stop being such a faggot. And it's sad and it's awful, but it exists. These homes exist. These kids exist. And like, we need to show them that there are people like me and like you out there that will help them. So,
yeah, 100%. When did you, I don't know if it's realize or label it or know that that was your authentic self? How old were you?
I was young. Like, I was probably 14 when I like acknowledged it.
Yeah.
Cause there's always like, you know, when you're kind of going through puberty and you're just kind of attracted to everything.
Yeah.
In that moment, like whatever you can get your rocks off with, you do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's exactly it. And I probably was like 14 by the time I found out like what gay was. And I was like, oh, like, okay, I really relate to that. And so I was, that's that. But of course, you don't just see something and you're like, okay, I'm gay now. I still dated a girl for another 3 years after that. Like, and then once I graduated high school, I was like, okay, I think I'm gay now.
Yeah. So, I got this. Well, and everybody's journey is different. I'm sure you've heard lots of stories from different people in the community of different time frames when it became really clear, or people who don't have that defined gender specific attraction label anymore. Like, there's so much sexual fluidity in the world, which I think some people find confusing. I think is beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing that I say to a lot of people is that you don't have to get it. You truly don't have to get it. We are people who are non-binary or don't subscribe to a specific gender norm or have a different gender identity than you or than I or than anybody else. They're just living their life authentically. And that is the only way that you and I get to see that.
Yeah.
Right. We don't get to see it any other way other than you're always welcome to sit at my table. And that's the most important part, right?
Yeah. So let's go to a real basic moment in it. What do the letters stand for?
Okay.
You don't know how many there is or what to say. And sometimes if you know what words you're giving the letter to, it helps you to say that better as an ally.
Totally. I mean, there's a few different variations. I mean, there's the LGBTQIA, there's LGBTQ2S+, which is the one personally that I prefer. And LGBTQ2S+ is lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, LGBT, queer, and then 2S+. So 2S means two-spirit. And I'm not necessarily the one to educate on this, but it is Indigenous First Nations. It's, I believe, and I think if anybody's out there who is Indigenous, maybe this is a better one to ask, but my basic understanding of it is that there's a belief that's rooted in the most powerful ones in the tribe take traits of both male and female energy. It's something along those. I'll find a better thing and I'll send it to you. You can share it with your group, but that's two spirit. It's awesome. Yeah. And then plus is a bit more of an all encompassing term for once you get into things like intersex and demisexual and pansexual, asexual, and all of those sorts of things. There's just so many that plus is kind of like, here's a list, find your place.
There's a place for you.
Exactly.
But if we gave all the letters, we'd be here all day. And exactly. I think what's nice about that is that there's a place for you, regardless of which one you're identifying with.
And I mean, that's exactly it. I think that there's also, there is a lot of erasure in the community as well. Like, I mean, usually if you say, oh, I'm asexual, it's like, oh, well, that's just because you can't get any. And that's not it. There's a lot of, it's within the community. It's judgmental in the community as well. But at least at my table and at least in the tables that I sit at, every person sits at my table, regardless.
Well, yeah, where do we get off the judgment of that we get to define something we don't even know or understand or could even relate to? It's like, I like how you always say, you don't have to get it. Because I think we hear a lot, and you were part of the Okotoks Pride group who recently got the approval to get a rainbow sidewalk in your community. And I'm so freaking excited. Mm. I have wanted to see that in my community for some time now. We've been working on it. Hopefully High River's next. But I've heard lots of people say, well, why do you even need one? Same as probably why is Pride Month? But I'm sure you've heard that a lot. What do you say to people who say, well, like, why do you need a rainbow sidewalk?
Mm-hmm. The importance of a Pride crosswalk is not because we want to ram it down your throat. We don't want to do that. What it does is when a kid or when someone young is going on a walk with their parents, with their family, because that's the only time during a pandemic that you can get outside, that child will see that flag, or that young person will see that flag and know that there are other people in the community exactly like them. And it's the biggest thing when it comes to things like crosswalks. It's not for us. It's for the people that still haven't found their place yet. And it's a good gesture for Okotoks and for many other communities where they can say, you are welcome here. And if you do see this, please know that we're welcome or we're welcoming you into our community. And so I think the same actually could be said for Pride Month. Someone said to me the other day that Pride Month isn't for gay people. It's for education and it's for people who aren't part of our community. Okay. It's so that we can try to bridge the gap, right? It's when Pride celebration comes around. So in September for us, that's for us. But in June, it's so that we can help to do things like this. It's to educate.
Yeah. Right? When I saw, I shared a graphic on my social media the other day that I really liked, saying that gay pride wasn't born to celebrate being gay, but our right to exist without persecution. So instead of wondering why there isn't a straight pride movement, just be thankful you don't need one.
Well, and that's exactly it.
That spoke volumes to me because I'm like, yeah, actually, it all falls into why we have movements of all different kinds. It's about that education and
That's exactly it.
Not knowing what it feels like.
Exactly. It's about acknowledging you. I hate that this word gets thrown around so much, but it's about acknowledging the little bit of privilege that's there.
Yeah.
But it's also about acknowledging history. I mean, police raided Stonewall 51 years ago, and we fought back for the first time. And that's what Pride Month is about. It marks the day that Marsha P. Johnson, a transgender woman of color, threw the first rock, or threw one of the first rocks. She's not the only one, but there's a group of them. And Marsha P. Johnson is credited with beginning the Pride movement. And so it's about supporting her legacy, because she was found dead in the Hudson like a week or so later. And so, and the police said, we're not going to investigate it, whatever, let her go. And so it's stories like that that started Pride that still need to be remembered 51 years later, right? And it's exactly the reason why a year ago, when the George Floyd killing happened and Breonna Taylor and all of those people of color down in the States, where we said, here's Pride Month, educate, have it, it's yours, because that's part of our legacy too, right? As a community. Yeah. So we have to stand there. And it's the exact same thing when Pride Month started this year, when they found 215 Indigenous kids in the ground. And so it's the exact same thing there. Here is Pride Month, use it. We have built this and we fought for this. We want to make sure that all our brothers and sisters at the table get a chance to use it. So sorry, I just went off on a little tangent there, but it's important to note those things.
Your tangents are why you're here. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, we need, and we don't always know. And especially if, I think that if you're somebody who is completely straight and you've had really straight circles, you don't get the opportunity to learn and know from authentic source. And I think too, if you're somebody who has, I mean, we've all been touched or have friends or people in our world who are exploring their sexuality, and we just have to love them through that. And when you have never felt that way or been in that situation, you just don't know. And like you said, you don't have to understand it. You just have to be fucking kind. Sorry, I had to swear today. I know I only normally swear on Wednesday, but be kind, for it's crying out loud.
Literally so true. I mean, you really nailed it on the head. Like, love me through it.
Yeah.
That is a mandate that I live by as well. No matter what you are going through, it's a thing actually in my workshop the other night, was your inner circle. Build your inner circle, keep your inner circle close, and love each other through everything.
Through everything.
But, yeah. So you nailed it.
Tom, do you find it that it was more difficult to declare your authentic self coming from a smaller town?
yes. Because I was born and raised in England. So I moved here in 2008. And so not only was I in a smaller town, but I also barely knew anybody. Well, I knew people by the point that I came out, but I basically started my life again when I was 12, and then kind of realizing at 14 and then coming out at 18. Yes, very much so. It is hard in a smaller town, which is why, again, we come back to the things like crosswalks and that sort of stuff. But even just four weeks ago, I was at work and someone said, like, you know, we don't want queers selling us beer. So those things don't stop happening once you come out. That's a big thing to note, is that those things do still happen. It's still very prevalent, but yes, it was difficult to come out. But now that I'm here, I have found an incredible community of people, like Jody, you being one of them, right? Like, there is a difference between a performative ally and an actual ally. And you are a true ally. We've been talking about rainbow crosswalks for years.
Never.
Right? Yeah. So yes, in short, or in long answer, yes, it was quite difficult.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if it probably, depending on people's family situations or whatever, it's probably always difficult. And I think that's the thing to me, is I would love a world where it's not difficult anymore, outside of maybe you have your own internal struggle of that, and that's always going to happen for people. But wouldn't it be so beautiful if it wasn't a struggle? If it just was what it is, and we didn't, almost we didn't have to talk about it if we didn't want to, because it's just the way we are.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So beautiful.
Exactly. A lot of it comes from inside the home. starts with, it starts the day that child is born, right? Like it is, and I mean, there's many responsibilities as a parent, so I don't expect this one to be high on anybody's list, but it's high on my list, and I expect it to be high on my friends' lists if you run in my circle. But it's about creating a space where your child feels comfortable, or anybody in your life feels comfortable to be like, this is my boyfriend. And you're like, cool. Like, it's, you know, it's about that. So not necessarily that, you know, I over here have to create a safe space for you. It's that it starts in that, in the home.
Yeah. Well, so. I know that I parent that way, and not everybody does. And I, you know, again, pass no judgment, but, you know, as my son is approaching puberty years, Lord help me. I've already started with, like, you know, is there anybody at school that you think is really cute? Boy, girl, otherwise. Like,
yes.
And I always bring up both, and he'll just be like, Mom,
yeah,
I don't like anyone. And I'm like, awesome. Let's stay there. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But we have a great conversation. And I think what's also an interesting example, which I don't know if this helps people or not, but we would watch, I've had people say to me in my life in different circles of, like, why do there always have to be a gay character on a television show? Or why do they have, like, people get this weird mentality, and we know they're out there, and that's why we keep having conversation is to break is, well, why wouldn't there be? But anyway, my son and I were watching a show. It was Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
Judge me as a parent later if you want. But what I love about this show is that the police captain in this show is a gay man of color.
Yes.
And one of the detectives is bisexual. And right. They talked about those relationships a lot on the show. And we thought it was a funny show. Caden really was into it for a while. But we'd have great conversation, because then he was like, so what exactly does bisexual mean again, Mom? And so then I would explain that she loves both men and women, and it's whatever. And he was like, that's cool. And he talked, and we got to have authentic, real conversations where he could ask questions and feel safe about, and why he loves it. And we've had beautiful conversations about, he's like, well, why can't people just love who they want to love, Mom?
Yeah.
And I said, they can, but we just got to help people realize that. And so I love that we can have these opportunities so we can teach that.
That's exactly it. I mean, you have always been a beautiful facilitator for these sorts of things, like since the day I met you. I think we have a lot of very similar qualities, me and you.
Yeah. We're kindred spirits.
100%. 100%. I mean, but I think it really is as simple as that. I don't think that your skills of facilitating are anything that another parent can't do, right? It's just having a conversation. And it is getting better. I will admit that. Like, there is so many kids out there now that, I mean, even we see it as a pride committee in Okotoks, the amount of people that we see and we talk to and we hang out with and stuff like that, it's beautiful. And so a lot of parents, I think, need to take some pointers from you, Miss Jody. But but we're getting there. The world is moving faster than it was.
Well, and I think what we need to acknowledge, too, is that there's a lot of us in this world, and I know there's somebody watching who probably feels this way, is that you have that judgment or that uncertainty or the feeling of not knowing how to feel about it because you are foundationally taught something.
Yeah.
And that can come from when we have conversations about Pride Month, about Black Lives Matter, about Indigenous, about anything. You can really put anything about sex in general, right? We are taught things foundationally.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But where it comes to our personal responsibility, my feeling is you have to work through where you want your foundation to be and what you're going to grow. And you have to break down the shit that you were taught if it's not in alignment with who you truly are. And it's not easy. Like, I'm not saying, like, oh, we all need to just change tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I know foundationally I was brought up with some very differing opinions on a number of these topics.
Yeah.
And I won't allow it to be my foundation or my son's. Right? So it's taking that personal responsibility
to
be a lover of love and just be, like I've said to people through all the things, even through this weird COVID-ness we all have, the weird divide that's happening, it's like, don't be a dick. That's it. Just don't be a dick and continue to be kind And that's all we need. And I'm not preaching to you because, you know, I just want to say you do you. That's always been my feeling that I will always share. Look forward to that. But let's just take a moment and thank Tom so very much. Tom also has a great podcast show.
Okay, so my podcast is called Tom Weekly. It usually comes out every week. However, with COVID, I'm finding it a bit difficult to have people on the show because I wasn't built for that right away. So I am now. So I do have a lineup of guests that are coming, but it's called Tom Weekly. You can find it at Spotify, Apple Music, all of those places that you find podcasts.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's there. There's a few really cool episodes up right now, including one called, it's called The Balance of an Emotional Roller Coaster, I think, or something like that. And that one is, I don't know if you've heard it or not, but it was it's basically a 20-minute long kind of essentially rant from me about, it's about how I give so much of myself to other people and I have to stop doing that. I have to start saying no and I have to start focusing on me and my shit and, you know, things like that. And so it's really interesting, but you can find it all there. It's all up there online and all of that jazz. Yeah. So
that's because you're approaching your 30s now, friend. Like this is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About
and
it.
Then you step into your 40s and you're like, I got this shit.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Seriously.
We still freak out. I'm like, I feel so old now, but you're coming along, little grasshopper. You're doing so well.
Well, I just love you, my Mama Jody. Yeah,
I love you also. And I thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Jody Seeley Show podcast. This has been a Limelight Audio and Media production.